Hallelujah. Resurrection. We are celebrating resurrection. Welcome, everyone, to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. There's a nasty secret about resurrection. We celebrate resurrection. We're all excited about resurrection. But the truth of the matter is no one can experience resurrection without death. We want resurrection in our lives. We want to enjoy resurrection, but we want to keep living the way we always did before. It doesn't work that way. Resurrection demands death. Because the other side of death is resurrection. And that's what we've been talking about in this series on justice, where God is setting things right, putting things right, and making things right in our life. Amen? Justice is a result. Justice is a product. It's a result that we want. Resurrection is what we want. Life. Healing, health, wholeness, prosperity, joy, peace, rest, resurrection. But there is a price to pay. And the price is that we are going to have to die. As we saw the testimony there, John James. The only way for him to experience resurrection in his life was he had to go through the wilderness. He had to make some choices. He had to die to an old way of thinking, an old way of acting, an old way of being, in order to experience this new justice. Where God is able to set things right, put things right, and make things right. Resurrection. Micah chapter 7, verse 9. We read this before. I think it was last week. In the CSB, it says this, "Because I have sinned against him, I must endure the Lord's fury until he champions my cause and establishes justice for me." Resurrection, justice for me. Sets things right, puts things right, makes things right. "He will bring me into the light, and I will see his salvation." As I said, here's the good news. The good news is that Jesus has already championed our cause. Amen? Hallelujah. That's what we're celebrating. Jesus championed our cause. He established justice for us by becoming our substitute and our redeemer and giving us salvation. Amen? Hallelujah. He's championed our cause. He's became our substitute. He's our redeemer. Justice. Justice. Justice is ours. Resurrection is ours. Hallelujah. But it's not automatic. The Lord is our vindicator and will vindicate us. He has brought us into the light. Colossians chapter 1. He has brought us into the light. He has literally taken us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear son. Colossians 1, starting in verse 12. Colossians 1. Verses 12 to 14 says this, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Hallelujah. Jesus, thank God, has qualified us. Amen. The price has been paid. We qualify to experience and enjoy justice. We qualify to experience resurrection life because of Christ. All because of him. Amen. Hallelujah. He's qualified us. Verse 13, he has, say has, You know, has is past tense. King James says half. Years ago, I taught a whole series called What? What He Hath Done For Us. Half. Half. Book of Ephesians is filled with a bunch of halves. Halves. And it's all because of Jesus. It's all because of what He hath done for us. And if we want to experience what He hath done for us, there is a process. It's not automatic. He hath. He hath what? Verse 13. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has conveyed. King James says translated. I like the word beamed. He beamed us. He did what? He's made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, and He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has beamed us into the kingdom of His dear Son, the kingdom of His Son, of His love. Hallelujah. Captain Kirk would say, beam me up, Scotty. And he'd go from one place to another. God in Christ hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has beamed us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of His dear Son, the kingdom of His love. Amen? We have been. We have been delivered. We have been delivered. There's no use in praying for deliverance. We need to pray for wisdom on how to access and enjoy it. Because we have been delivered. We have been delivered. We have been literally severed. But now how can I experience and walk in it? Jesus bore our sicknesses, carried our diseases, and by His stripes we were healed. We were healed. Okay, so what if I don't feel healed? What if I don't act healed? What if I'm not healed? Then we need to ask for wisdom on how to access and enjoy our healing, because we were healed already. Jesus became poor for us, that through His poverty we might be made rich. So we have been made rich, but what if we're not? Bank accounts don't look that way. Checkbook doesn't look that way. We need to ask for wisdom. Lay hold of the Word of God. How can we access what has already been given to us? How can we access what has already been given to us? So there's no use in begging for it. He hath already done it. It's a matter of us. God said this about the children of Israel. Remember that? He said, I have given you the promised land. He gave it to them. And yet they're still on the other side of the river. There was a Jordan River in their way. I've already given it to you. Now He said, go possess it. They needed wisdom, but they had to go possess it. God wasn't possessing it for them. They had to go possess it. We must possess our healing. We must possess the life of God. We must possess resurrection. We must possess prosperity. We must possess all the great and precious promises of God. We need to look in the mirror and go, you got something to do, right? You got something to do. You got something to do. Because James said it this way. James is Jesus' half-brother. He was raised in the house. And when he got born again, he began to think about, okay, Jesus is God. He's living in my house. Let me think about and begin to ponder and put some pieces of the puzzle together, because I thought he was crazy. And resurrection happened. He died, I saw him die. God raised him from the dead. He's God. Who knew? Who knew? His family didn't. They thought he was crazy. But James, and to think back, and he goes, the doers are blessed, not the hearers. We can hear this all day long. We can watch this on YouTube and watch this on, you know, programs and listen to tapes and CDs all day long. And listening to it does nothing to get us any closer. Knowing this, memorizing this, doesn't get us any closer. He said the hearers actually deceive themselves because they think they ought to get some results just from hearing. They hear this day after day after day after day, and they go, there's just something wrong. Because I can quote you. I can tell you. Preacher, I can tell you. You quote that verse, and I know it. I know it, but it doesn't work for me. I know it, but it doesn't work for me. What happened? We thought that hearing automatically made it a result in our lives. Hearing the word doesn't make it an automatic result in our life. Hearing doesn't make it manifest in our life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And faith without works is dead. So that's why he said, the doers are blessed. We must hear. Yes, we must hear so faith can come. But we don't want our faith to be dead or lifeless or unproductive. How can we put our faith to work? How can we cause our faith to produce results in our life? Action. The doers are blessed. The doers are blessed. The hearers are deceived. The doers are blessed. Let's say that together. The hearers are deceived. The doers are blessed. James chapter 1. Interesting. So, we have been delivered from the power of darkness and have been beamed, translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, the kingdom of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We are delivered and have been beamed out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear Son. Resurrection. We're delivered. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 35. 26 to 35. It says this, now and an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he arose and went, and he beheld a man, an Ethiopian, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he, returning, was sitting in his chariot and was reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit of the Lord said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. I want you to get up there and catch up to him. And so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, do you understand what you're saying or what you're reading? And the man said, how can I unless someone guide me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him in his chariot. The place in the scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, excuse me, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began in the scriptures preaching Jesus to him. So now, do you notice what was said in this scripture? This scripture tells us this. Jesus refused to access his justice. Jesus told us, I can call five legions or whatever, 100 legions, 1,000 legions. I can call that many angels right now and deliver me. That is not the issue. Jesus refused to access his justice for our sake. He refused justice for our sake. He became our substitute. He took our place. Jesus refused to access his justice for our sake, for us to be able to experience justice. He did not experience, he did not access his justice so we can. Isn't that good news? He didn't access it so we can. Jesus took no advantage of vindication for himself until after the price was paid on the third day. And boom! Resurrection. Amen? He took our place. He became our substitute. He refused to allow himself to be vindicated because he was sinless. He never did anything wrong. But he went to hell to pay the price for us. Took our place. Became our substitute. Why? So we could experience resurrection. And when justice was paid, when justice was served, when his substitute for us legally was finalized, God looked at the Holy Ghost and said, go get them. And the Bible says that the glory of God, the Spirit of God, raised Jesus from the dead. And there was nothing the devil could do about it. Hallelujah. Amen. So, resurrection was for us. His resurrection for us. Everything we watch, everything we're talking about, this whole celebration about Jesus being raised from the dead, resurrection is for us. I guess one of the truths is, listen, we were already dead. We were already spiritually dead, separated from God. Resurrection came to give us life. And in order for us to experience resurrection in our lives, we had to bow our knee to Jesus. Jesus, I make you my Lord. And then every day from then, in order for us to experience resurrection in our lives, we have to die. Jesus said it this way, not my will, but your will be done. Right? Not my will, but your will be done. This is how we stay dead. We've been made a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. But we still have a mind. We still have flesh. We need to renew our mind and we need to crucify our flesh. This is how we do it. Not my will be done, but yours. Our spirit's already resurrected. It's alive. We're born again. This body, our flesh, and an unrenewed mind, these are the problems. And so we're told to renew our mind with the Word of God. Begin to think like God, talk like God, act like God, and get God results. Renew our mind. Change the way we think. Our spirit's been changed. Now it's our responsibility to change the way we think. And change the way we act. So our flesh just wants to do old stuff it wanted to do before. We just have to tell it to shut up. Crucify it. Not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. Amen? Hallelujah. This is how we walk free. Live in resurrection. Hallelujah. So, when justice was served, the price was paid. When justice was served, the price was paid. What do we hear? Can you hear and can you see the just judge of all the earth, the gavel? The gavel. Boom. Innocent. Boom. Healed. Boom. Forgiven. Boom. Delivered. Boom. Righteous. Boom. Prosperous. Boom. the head and not the tail. Boom, above only, not beneath. Boom, peace. Boom, wholeness. Boom, delivered. Can you hear it? Can you hear the sound of the just judge of all of the earth making declarations over you? You hear the gavel, boom, and he makes a decree about who you are and what he's done for you. Boom, no fear. Boom, strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Hallelujah. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Boom. Hallelujah. We're going to continually be renewing our mind and taking action. Stepping out of our comfort zone if we want to experience and enjoy newness of life, resurrection. Newness of life and take new territory. It doesn't happen in our comfort zone. First Corinthians 15 verse 34 tells us that we are to awake to righteousness. We are to awake to righteousness. We are to wake up to who we are. Wake up to what we have in Christ. Amen? Who we are and what we have in Christ. We need to wake up to who we are in Christ. Wake up to what we have in Christ as our legal rights. We must wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up and smell the roses. Wake up and see what reality is. Hallelujah. Resurrection. Right standing, innocence, prosperity, justice, authority. That's what righteousness is. We're to wake up to righteousness. Right standing, innocence, prosperity, justice, authority. Romans chapter 5, verse 17 says this, through the abundance of the grace and the free gift of righteousness, and the Amplified says it this way, we are to rule and reign as kings through one, Christ Jesus. Because of the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, we have been authorized to rule and to reign as kings through one, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 verses 4 through 6 says this, But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great, wonderful, intense love wherewith he loved us. In order to satisfy that great, wonderful, intense love wherewith he loved us, even while we were dead in trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace we've been saved. We've been raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Because of his love, he has saved us and raised us and seated us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What do we do in that seat? We don't whine and complain. No. We rule and reign. It's a seat of authority. We rule and reign in our lives. Our flesh doesn't rule and reign. The devil doesn't rule and reign. We rule and reign. We exercise authority in our lives. We walk in line with this. Hallelujah. Our flesh wants to do something else different than this. Different than the fruit of the Spirit? This is what we do. I walk in love. I walk in joy. I walk in peace. I walk in self-control. I walk in faithfulness. Amen? Hallelujah. This is what we do. We rule and reign in our lives. We don't rule and reign over other people's lives. We rule and reign in our lives. We've been given authority over our own lives. Hallelujah. And then he's given us authority over the power of darkness. So his influence doesn't mess with the masses. Hallelujah. We're the hindering force while we're here. And when the rapture happens, hey, everyone's on their own after that. But we have an influence. We have an influence. we're a hindering force right now, the body of Christ. So we see, we have been raised up together and made to sit together with him to rule and to reign. Justice has been bought and given to us. Justice has been bought and given to us. So we're not begging God and whining to God because we don't have justice, because things are not set right, put right, made right. No. Justice has been bought and purchased for us. We've talked about some steps last week in order to position ourselves for justice. And we're going to continue to talk about. Next week, we're going to start talking about justified by faith. Justified by faith. Laying hold of justice, experiencing justice, enjoying justice in our lives. How do we do that? It's been bought for us. It's ours. It's ours. We're not trying to purchase it. We're not trying to earn it. It's ours. It's ours. It's been given to us. So now how can we experience things put right, set right, and made right in our lives? In closing, Psalm 37, verse 6. Psalm 37, verse 6. Psalm 37, verse 6 says this. He shall bring forth our righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Again, the word righteousness to me, it just means to be right, to be innocent, prosperity. And your justice as the noonday. He shall bring forth your righteousness. He shall bring forth justice. He shall bring forth prosperity as the light, and your justice, setting things right, putting things right, making things right, as the noonday. In other words, he's saying, listen, our vindication, our prosperity, and our justice are as sure as the rising of the sun and lunchtime. Hallelujah. Isn't that true? Our vindication, our prosperity, our justice are as sure as the rising of the sun and lunchtime. We don't go, I wonder if the sun's going to rise today. No. We automatically expect it. Why? Because that's just the way it works. Now, there may be clouds, and so we might not see the sun as clearly as other days, but it always rises. Always rises. Hallelujah. And so we might have some clouds in our lives. That doesn't mean the sun's not risen. And so, our vindication, our prosperity, our justice are as sure as the rising of the sun and lunchtime. Lunchtime always comes. We might not eat, but it always comes. Amen? It's sure enough. The sun rises, lunchtime, and then the sun's going down again. But it's coming back up. Sure is. The sun rises and lunchtime is our justice, our prosperity, and our vindication. Why? Because justice has been bought for us. Let's say it together. Justice has been bought for me. It's mine. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.